flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's talk to Ross Tucker. Football was made for Ross Tucker, and Ross Tucker was made for WIP. He joins us every Wednesday at this time as Eagles march on. Good morning, Ross.
Good morning. I was loving hearing Devin talk about her her sideline escapades. Because I'll be joining you on the sideline on Sunday, by the way.
I saw, Ross. I'm so excited. Although, actually just going to bring it up to Patrick before Joe made it weird with Sharon Stone.
So it'll be Ian Eagle and Kurt Warner in the booth. I'll be sideline. Although I actually spend most of my time usually on the away team sideline.
Aww.
Because number one, there's less people over there. And then number two, that's where the TV cameras are facing. And I try to get as much gratuitous television time as I possibly can. Anytime you guys gotta watch this. Something. Anytime a guy goes out of bounds, I'll be flying over there. Like I'll try to help him up. Whatever. Like I usually wear like an obnoxious orange jacket.
Look at you, Ross.
Literally, my mom and like my wife and kids watch for me on the sideline. But it's so funny. You know how John went off about the heaters?
Yep.
Remember the Army Navy game at the link where it snowed really bad, like 4 or 5 years ago, maybe. The Secret Service dudes had their own heater. Like there was a heater on the sideline, and I'm down there, and it's freezing because I'm on sideline. Next thing I know, I have double gloves. I look at my gloves; they're on fire.
Wow! I had to
stick my glove into the snow. The Secret Service guys are crying; they're laughing so hard.
Wow.
If you get too close to those hot dog heaters for too long, you will absolutely catch on fire.
Yep.
That is a real thing.
Wow. Noted.
That's not good, man.
No.
All right, Ross, what is good is Eagles pulled it out, and it was tight, and it was tough, and it was nerve-wracking. I want to do a lot more today with you on the next game, because we're pretty well covered on the last game. But let's just get you out of the gate here on what stood out to you with the Eagles gutting that win out the other day.
Well, yes, I would say it's funny, Joe, because you're as good of a Eagles historian as I know. That was like a top five most stressful game.
Oh, it was brutal. It was
because
brutal.
And let me add to that, okay? My Westwood One boss said, if the Eagles win, you'll be on sideline in Philly. If they lose, you're either in L.A. or KC. I don't know yet.
Yep.
That makes a big difference in my life, whether I'm just driving to Lincoln or flying
man.
To L.A. It just added to the stress of the game.
But you know what it really was? Ross, let me say this before you crank it up. You know what it really was? It's a championship-ready team that may or may not win it, but has a legitimate shot, and none of us wanted to see them lose it in a divisional round to a team they should beat. And it really hung in the balance, and that's part of what made it so nerve-wracking.
Yes, and the fact that it would have been nerve-wracking regardless, but if the Lions had smoked the Commanders the night before, it wouldn't have felt quite the same as knowing. I think a home championship game is the greatest atmosphere in sports, because if you go to the Super Bowl, it's 50-50. It's not even 50-50 because half the people there are just crazy rich people that wanted to go to the Super Bowl. There is nothing like a conference championship game. I've been on the sideline for, I don't know, the last 6, 7, 8, whatever it is, and like that tension, that anticipation, it is, I mean, a couple years ago, when they were killing every Niners quarterback, that was – I mean, I literally was looking in the stands at my wife and father-in-law, and they were, like, jumping up. I mean, it was just – it was awesome. You know, the crazy thing about that game on Sunday, and really the Eagles' first two playoff games, they are winning and I know that game came down to the end and there are reasons why, but they're winning playoff games despite the fact that I'm not really sure they're playing that great. You know, I mean, you think about even just Sunday, I don't understand why Hurts takes some of the sacks that he does, although there's pros and cons of everything, and he was very decisive as a runner, and that was very helpful at times. And also, he's not turning it over.
Yep.
Look at the teams that lost the games, okay? Goff with the picks, and Lamar Jackson had two terrible turnovers. So I guess we just have to take the good with the bad with Hurts taking those sacks, but as a former offensive lineman, it drives me crazy. I was that might have been the number one game I was most disappointed in Kellen Moore this year, I would say. And you know me, I'm not like that hard on coaches, but they have second and goal from the 1.5. Why are we not tush-pushing it twice and scoring a touchdown? You know, instead they give it to Saquon. He lost yardage.
Remind me, Ross, was that before or after the Hurts injury? I just don't remember. Because there's a difference.
I think it was after.
Okay.
It was after.
Yeah, I
However,
think it was. Yeah.
It was after, Joe, but they ran at least three bootlegs after that, okay, mm-hmm. where he had to roll out. And also, they did line up for the tush-push on fourth down yeah. until Lane had the false start. So, like,
right.
the tush-push was still in the arsenal. I was wondering if maybe they didn't think the O-line could get the same level of traction, you know, because of the footing, and mm-hmm. maybe that's why they didn't do it.
Possibly.
You know, so you know, obviously Jake making those kicks was, I literally do that Ross report on social media, and the good was Jake Elliott making the field goals. The bad was Jake Elliott missing the extra points.
Yep.
Jalen Carter's incredible. Although I will say this, I'm not trying to take anything away from Jalen Carter. I love that dude. He reminds me of Jerome Brown so much. It's like scary at times. I have no idea what the Rams were doing on those last two plays. John, you'll appreciate this. Go back and watch those last two plays. They should have been doubling him. They essentially barely even blocked him. It's like two plays in a row, the right guard vacated space, slid away from Carter. The center thought he was, I mean, it was like, if I was a Rams fan.
Yeah. It was indecisive. There was
indecisiveness. Oh my gosh, I'd be losing my mind.
He's the only guy you need to worry about blocking for me. You know,
let's put it this way. The Rams,
best player.
I doubt the Rams offensive line coach has slept since that game
right.
because it was that bad.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit weird that it feels like the offense right now is like a bunch of 2 or 3 yard gains for Saquon and then hoping and waiting for him to break a long one. I think they're going to have to throw it better against the Commanders, and I think that they will. I mean, I think that they will, and I think they need to.
I think the key is figuring out a way to deal with the simulated pressures. Earlier in the season, we had issues with the simulated pressures. And when I say simulated pressures, I mean those looks where a defense, I think the Atlanta Falcons did a lot of this, where they would show, you know, like six guys flat across the defensive front. You know, it's just, and then they drop two, only four come. It's not an additional number of players coming.
Confuses
it's
the,
an yeah. additional, they're coming from areas that are unexpected.
You we know, used to just call those,
where you
John,
don't
we used
know
to,
for
we,
sure.
We used to just call those zone blitzes. I don't know who called
zone
them
zone blitz. You're right. You
simulated
got guys dropping
pressures
out
over the last couple years. That's like the cool term now.
Yeah.
It's been a zone blitz. Jim Johnson was doing it 20 years ago. Now all of a sudden it's this new simulated pressure.
Yeah. Jim Johnson did it every single play and made it such a headache for every offense. And yeah, it really does make it hard to know where you're supposed to be. Look, the simulated pressure, we need some solutions. We need to be calmer with the way we approach protecting that because it hasn't been good enough. And
I would blitz him a lot.
Contributing factor.
I would blitz Jalen almost every play because I don't think their pass rush is good enough to get there. So I would blitz him. I think the flip side to that is when you blitz him, he does do a decent job of getting the ball out of his hands quickly when he's blitzed. Whereas if he's not blitzed, he actually, he feels protected. So he holds on to it and holds on to it and holds on to it. Mm-hmm. And you almost have more success, I think, at times not blitzing because he's more likely to hold on to the ball if you do a nice job in coverage on his first read.
Ross, but if you blitz him and Saquon takes a handoff and you know runs right by you and your blitzers, we saw that several times.
Yeah, that kind of happened. Ross,
75 yards into the house.
Yep, Ross, two Hurts injury questions, then we'll get right back to the phones here. So, one, what do you think it is? And two, how concerned are you with the knee as it relates to the game?
All right, so the first thing I would tell you is that, you know, they tell you as a broadcaster to never speculate on an injury, but I think that's also when you're doing the game.
Yeah, we don't adhere to that rule here on WSB.
Yeah, I know. You don't adhere to a lot of rules. I would say I think he has, and in full transparency, I've already talked to team orthopedics to get their opinion on, not the Eagles. Not, you know, the Eagles would never tell me anything, but I think it's either a knee contusion or maybe like a small meniscus tear. I initially thought maybe it was a sprained knee, like a PCL or MCL. I was told they don't think so based on the video and how the play happened. They think it's more like a knee contusion, which could be like you could pop your bursa sac, which leads to some swelling, or a meniscus tear. The biggest issue with that would be cutting, planting. You know, when you have to put your foot in the ground and really drive it. I am definitely encouraged by the fact that they called at least three bootlegs after that, including the one on second down in the last series, which I thought was madness. But they've called at least three bootlegs after the injury is encouraging. And I also think he'll be able to run north and south. The question will be, what's his pain level if he has to really put it in the ground and try to make a sharp cut? Which I don't know, he doesn't really make that many sharp cuts typically anyway, but that's sort of the question.
Yeah, he's very good at it when he does it, but I agree with you. He doesn't do it maybe quite as much as he used to, would be my sense of it. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Dan in Philadelphia right now. What's going on, Dan?
Good morning, crew. How are we today?
Great, Dan.
Evan, I think you may be, now that you're the sideline reporter, definitely during the playoffs, you may be rubbing off some luck here. So if
I hope so. I hope so. I know, as
undefeated.
If we need more pressure. But yeah, no, it's going well so far.
4-0?
4-0, yeah.
Joe, do you have a uniform she could wear or a costume she could wear on the sideline?
You want to wear the Phillies uniform?
Can you imagine?
Yeah,
I'm going to pass on that one.
Fake Phillies player interviewing Eagles player.
Hey, listen, Jalen Hurts, right? All year people are complaining and you know, about his stats and the stat lines. And I'm okay, right? Like, he's doing what he has to do to win, and the running game's doing great, and we're winning, right? I'm not going to complain about winning. But Sunday had me worried. Like, he just wouldn't let go of that ball. So, essentially, the safety, right, which he could have threw the ball away, turned into a turnover and 2 points. Don't forget, he held onto the ball, and he fumbled, and I think Gainwell, I just don't understand why he's not throwing away. I'm trying to think of some logical reason why you wouldn't throw the ball away.
Well, I'll give you an answer.
If he thinks he's putting the ball at greater risk by throwing it away.
Right, exactly.
How is throwing it away greater risk?
Well,
there's safety.
Well, listen, Dan, he shouldn't take the safety, but there's two examples where greater risk theoretically could happen from time to time. One, an interception. And two is if he thinks he's about to be strip sacked in the process of trying to throw the ball, which did happen to him a decent amount last year.
Or if you're going to get called for illegal grounding.
Well, it's the same thing as a safety.
In the end zone, regardless.
Yeah, the end zone one is different than most because, you know, you could have an intentional grounding that is essentially a safety. But look, Dan, he should do a better job throwing it away. And it's very aggravating that he doesn't. And I think it's part of why we were all so nervous in the fourth quarter because he put him in a spot to help him have the lead, but he also put him in a spot to not have a bigger lead.
That's also another opportunity, another example of, and he said this yesterday and he took the blame for it, what I thought was a pretty questionable call by Kellen. I mean, you think about
the second down at the end of the game.
Well, second down at the end of the game, but I'm talking about the second down that led to the safety.
Here's what I don't agree.
They got 4 yards. Yeah. They're at the 8-yard line. You're saying I'm not putting it on more because you shouldn't get a safety from the 8-yard line?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm saying I want my quarterback who makes $250 million to be able to do second.
It was after the knee injury, man.
Well,
like,
then is he not capable of having passes in the game because he wants to
get in your own end zone? Like, just,
He's in the shotgun, so he sees the pressure coming. And all right, maybe he doesn't complete the pass to, I think it was Goddard wide open in the middle, but at least fired at him. Then you don't get the.
I agree, Dan.
And a lot of times he's taking these sacks, he's outside of the pocket. Like, he's rolling out left or he's rolling out right, and he's just falling or getting gripped up. Like, I don't understand why he just can't throw it out.
You can win the gift card. Give me an iconic image from a movie.
When I think of an image, I always think of E.T. in the bike with the
boots. Oh, that might win. That's a big
massive.
Answer. That is big.
Yeah.
Very big. Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Joe.
Hello, sir. My machine wasn't transferring to you. That was what the delay
called
was.
Called operator error.
Yeah, it's called, Dad. Seltzer, get me a new machine. All right, hello, Ed.
Hey, guys. How's everyone going?
Good.
I'm sort of cautiously optimistic about Sunday. I think we'd be remiss to not at least acknowledge that, we want to throw A.J. Brown the ball more, but the Commanders do have Marcus Lattimore back. They didn't have him the first game. That helped A.J. Brown, ability to get open. And Jonathan Allen's also back. So, I mean, I have confidence that the interior of our line will be able to handle him, but if they approach, the game against an injured Jalen similarly to what they did against Pickett, I think it'd be a pretty tough matchup.
Well, look, there's a lot of ways we can slice this. I'll say this, Ed. I don't fear Washington's defense. I'm aware they can do some stuff. But I thought what Goff did bad last week was more Goff being bad than Washington's D being good. I mean, the reality is Detroit did something last week that had never been done in pro football history, ever. The Detroit Lions lost a playoff game in which they passed for 300 yards and ran for 200 yards.
It's insane, isn't it?
And remember.
So that speaks something to the Washington's defense ain't that good.
Jared Goff kept giving the ball back.
Correct.
He was giving the ball away. That Washington defense still gave up 521 yards.
Yeah.
And 31 points. That's while he continued to give them the ball back.
Exactly.
So they... During this postseason, the two games that they've played, they've allowed 48 rushing attempts for 302 yards. That's 6.3 a carry. There was one huge carry by Jameson Williams, so that does skew that a little bit. But I'm told they're so much better now at stopping the run defensively. I disagree. The Commanders, it doesn't just change that quickly. The matchups are the matchups. Had we had our quarterback and had we stuck with the running game when we just lost that game to him,
a month ago, basically.
A month, essentially, yeah. December. I don't think we lose that game. They allowed 137 on the ground during the regular season.
Yeah.
Against Detroit, they just gave up 201 on the ground. We will go crazy running the football against this defense. Mark my words.
I love it. Ed, give me an answer, an iconic still image from a movie.
How about at the end of The Breakfast Club where John Bender pumps his fist in the air?
Yes.
That's a good answer, too, man. No, but it's a good answer. I don't love the movie, but it's a good answer.
Really?
No, I don't.
Oh, I love that movie.
They're all bickering. I don't know. It just doesn't.
But the end, when Anthony Michael Hall reads the letter, they all kind of came together.
I tell you what. Good for them. They all came together. Yeah, good for them. I guess I had so many experiences in detention that it hit near and dear to me.
Really?
I had a lot. But at the prep, we call it JUG, Justice Under God. So we won't get a detention. We get a JUG.
Of course it was Justice Under God.
I think it has something to do with the old Latin word jugum, which I think means to hang somebody. Anyway.
Oh, wow.
I think we're taking this a little far.
A little far.
Might need to change the detention philosophy there.
All right, I had quite a bit of them. All right, let's listen to Nick Sirianni. We had him on the program yesterday. So two big topics. One, the injury situations of Jalen Hurts and Quinyon Mitchell. The other, Jake Elliott. Let's start with the injuries. As Nick Sirianni addressed, he starts talking about Jalen and the knee, then gets to Quinyon Mitchell. Here's the back and forth yesterday with Nick Sirianni. How's the knee, and do you expect him to practice tomorrow?
Yeah, that we obviously play that each day. I know he'll do everything he can do to be at his top strength. I know he's a warrior. I know he will get himself ready to go. And we'll see tomorrow. We'll see tomorrow where he is and where the rest of the guys are when we get there.
Are you preparing game plan-wise confident that he will definitely play, or is there some uncertainty there?
Yeah, you know, you prepare for everything. He came back in the game, played in the game. We're preparing as, you know, with him being the quarterback, just like you go through each week. So, like I said, tomorrow where everybody is, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, Quinyon Mitchell, do you get a sense yet on his status?
We'll see.
No, I know.
We'll see tomorrow, and I hate not answering your guys' questions.
I understand,
but I don't want to put. I don't want, we're there. We're not there yet. We play everything day by day, and,
sure.
We're really hopeful. And, I know again, Q's going to do everything he can do to get himself ready to go and be at top speed.
Now, that was Sirianni yesterday. Now, quickly, before we react to that and get to the Jake Elliott audio, let me remind everyone, coming up in 8 minutes, we are giving you a name. And with that name, you can win tickets to the Eagles-Washington big showdown game coming up on Sunday. You can win those tickets on our program Friday, but you got to know the name that we tell you coming up at 8 o'clock today. That name, Friday, can win you the tickets to the Eagles in Washington.
Of course, courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
All right, Ross, gut feeling. Jalen Hurts today, full participant in practice, limited participant in practice, doesn't practice. Gut feeling. And second part of that question, if he is limited, does that hurt the Eagles' preparation process?
I would be surprised if he's a full participant. I would expect him to be a limited participant. I'll say 75%. Chance of limited participant,
mm-hmm.
25% chance of non-participant.
Wow, interesting.
Would be my guess.
So you're saying zero, in your mind, 0% chance full, like clear participant.
He clearly hurt something on Sunday. I don't know why you would have him full. And if you have him full, then, I mean, look, the Commanders know he's playing. They're preparing for him. But if you have him as a full participant, then there's no longer any ambiguity about what's going on there. If he's limited or non-participant, then there is still some ambiguity for your opponent who's preparing.
Yeah.
And you would think if he aggravated something, you would think they'd want to give it as much time to heal as possible. Now, what's so interesting about them having a walkthrough is it really means that how they list him is an estimation, because it's not really a practice. If it's a practice, then they say what he did. If it's a walkthrough, then they just list the injury reports based on estimation if it was a full practice.
Right, yeah, it's a weird...
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a weird aspect of pro football, the way they do that. Let's get to the Jake Elliott thing. So, Ross, I was dramatically in the minority yesterday on our show where everyone else here was like, nope, stick by Jake Elliott, stick by him. And I'm like, no. I mean, three words I put up on Twitter after the game on Sunday, enough is enough. And I love Jake Elliott, and I want him to be the kicker next year, and I expect him to be the kicker next year. I don't want him to be the kicker this week. Let's listen to what Nick Sirianni said to us yesterday.
Are you sure you want him to be the kicker next year?
100%.
Like, you can't say that.
No,
how do you know that?
Because I think he's a really good kicker when things are normal. Things
how do you know?
How do I know? He's been a great kicker for 7 years.
But we just watched him fall off the face of the planet.
Well,
he's okay
but not
to
like
kick
the Eagles still probably
already.
Don't win that game if he doesn't make the two field goals
okay.
he makes in the second
you
half.
Can't
like
say
he's still
next year he's
well,
coming
I,
back.
I can't. Well, I can, and I just did. I flat out 1,000% want him to be a kicker next year. I don't want him to be a kicker this week. Here's what Sirianni said when we asked him yesterday about Jake Elliott. Nick, you sticking with Jake Elliott for Sunday? Obviously a lot of missed kicks lately. You sticking by him?
Yes, for sure. For sure. You know, he's 6 for 6 in the playoffs on field goals and in adverse conditions. I got a lot of faith in Jake, and I know he's clutch when we need him to be clutch.
Does he have confidence issues?
No, I think Jake is pretty solid. I think if to see a guy miss a kick and then come back, I think it shows the exact opposite, actually. Like, to see a guy miss a kick and then come back under those circumstances and the conditions, again, we'll never use the conditions as an excuse, but the conditions were the conditions. It's going to make it more difficult for any kicker to kick the ball. And I think it shows, again, like I said, it shows just the opposite. You know, he misses an extra point early in the game, and then nails three field goals. So I think it shows just the opposite, that he is able to put the next, you know, embrace the adversity, put it in the past and play the current play. And that's what I love about Jake.
All right, Ross, in our poll yesterday, 78% of people said stick with him instead of door number two, which we termed as the best available free agent kicker. We don't know who that is, but somebody's the best available free agent kicker. If you're Sirianni, now look, we heard what Nick said. We know what he's going to do. Would you stick by Jake or not?
I would, yeah, because I'm not a believer in, you know, taking away one problem for potentially another.
Yeah, or potentially, you know, solving it.
Well, yeah, but you don't know that.
No, I don't know that.
To bring in some other guy that wasn't on a team all year and to think that this guy that 32 teams did not think was good enough to be their kicker is all of a sudden going to be better than the guy that just made multiple clutch field goals in the snow.
But also just missed two kicks and has missed three in 2 weeks. And has missed a bunch in the last month.
That's right. But also, the Packers got rid of their kicker midway through the year. You know, they brought in McManus.
Yeah.
He was fantastic for them until the playoff game at the Link, where he missed a chip shot and it really hurt the Packers significantly. So I think if I knew Joe, if I had a lot of confidence in door number two, then I think that that's a more reasonable conversation. But door number two is just an unknown and might be worse. And
might be.
Now you have to work with the timing with Braden Mann. And like, it's just, I don't love that idea. I mean, look, I wish Jake was playing the way he always does. And that's absolutely a concern. I mean, look, the concerns for the Eagles are Jake Elliott, Hurts, and on some level, based on this past Sunday, I would say offensive game plan / play calling.
And Jaden Daniels is number four. I mean, Jaden Daniels is the other just whopper.
Yeah, I was just talking about the specific Eagles concerns. Yeah. But yes, for the Commanders, it's crazy how well he is playing as a rookie. And the thing that's a little bit scary to me, that they run more no huddle and more empty sets than any other team in the NFL. And so the no huddle, that's supposed to really tire out your D-line. We already have Jalen Carter playing almost every snap, and there's not much of a rotation there. I mean, Sweat plays almost every snap.
Yeah.
Hunt does. So they have the potential to really tire out the D-line, and then the empty set and the no huddle makes you have to be a lot more vanilla on defense. Now, what I like is that I think our secondary is really good, especially if Quinyon can play, whereas the Lions felt like they needed to blitz, and they blitzed a lot, and they got killed by the blitz. Fangio's not going to do that. He's not going to blitz that much, and they're not going to get the big explosive plays. They're going to have to work the ball down the field, but they can. He can. He's that good.